Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's Dentistry Unmasked. I'm Pam Maragliano Muniz, Chief Editor for Dental Economics, and with me, as always,
hey friends, David Rice, Chief Editor at Dentistry IQ, and super pumped because we have a tremendous dentist here, hailing out of like Canada, Pam. I think, right?
I think so. So, not an Albertish. You don't even need an introduction, really.
No.
I mean, everybody knows who you are, but tell everybody, for like the one person that's like, wait, where's Canada? Like, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, hey guys, I practice in Toronto, which is, I don't think, all that far from the US border. I have a multidisciplinary practice up here, and my focus is really comprehensive dentistry, but it's a general practice. I've got associates in there. I've got to run it efficiently. We provide a really high level of care, and I teach a lot. And so what I talk about when I teach is comprehensive dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, smile makeovers, and the business side of dentistry, and how to run things in a way that works really well for you, whether you're an owner or an associate, so that you can do really well doing what you're doing, and at the same time, is an unbelievable experience for the patients and makes them want to keep coming back to you and keep on trusting you. So that's my little story.
I love that because I think so many people know you from like the spectacular dentistry that you put out. But when you mentioned that, hey, I run a real practice, and yes, we do complete care, and yes, we do these wonderful things, but I have associates and we have to be efficient. I love that word. So how do we in 2024 and beyond, like how do we get efficiently aesthetic? Because most of us aren't treating, you know, one patient a day and drinking coffee and posting IG pictures.
No, we got to do the IG pictures on our time off, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and just to give a little more merit to this, I will tell you, let you in on a little secret, is that I am just about through building my second location.
Awesome.
So anything that I talk about is something that I am super confident in and very happy and willing and trusting to scale. So let's think about how we be efficient. You know, starting out in dentistry, I graduated in 2007, and for several years, I was doing bread and butter dentistry. I was the only dentist in my clinic. And before I sort of it started to develop the model that I am operating in now, I was treating, you know, every 45 minutes, hour, 30 minutes, whatever, many patients a day doing restorative. And so, you know what really happens when you're a wet finger dentist and you're really getting your hands dirty in there is you really realize that, and I was doing everything. I was doing surgery. I was doing endo. I was doing, you know, MOs and MODs on posterior teeth. I was doing class fours on anterior teeth, all the things. And as I was doing all of that, I quickly realized that sometimes I could take out four wisdom teeth like faster than I could do an MOD. Right? Or two MODs side by side. And why was that? You know, like what is the reason? Because I've seen, you know, even in the past, people doing pretty quick, but this is what happened in my mind. A picture like, you know, the magic school bus, the storybook for kids. So you know how like the teacher of the magic school bus gets on the school bus and then becomes miniature and then goes into like whatever it is that they're investigating. That's what my brain did when I was doing restoration. And so I'd want to make sure that every step, because we know how technique sensitive our composite restorations are, I'd want to make sure that every step was perfect to prevent what was the biggest failure for me as a bread and butter all day restorative dentist at the time, which is the patient coming back with a problem, right? Biting pain, hot, cold sensitivity, especially cold sensitivity, right? Like I'm not talking about endo concerns. So what was I doing? You know, I was doing like, having to do, and we still have to do, really optimal moisture control, you know, great care with our adhesive technique, and then very systematic and careful layering. You know, your layers can't be too small and they also can't be too big. The maximum we learned, I went to school, I mean, I don't want to age myself, but you know, I mean, okay, 2003 to 2007, it's 2024 right now, right? So 21 years ago is when I started dental school. I feel like I'm 21 right now. So, you know, at that time, we were taught never to do more than a 2 millimeter increment for composite. And what was the procedure that I was doing the most in my practice? Posterior composite resin restorations, right? At the time. And even in the anterior, you cannot do more than a 2 millimeter increment. You have to be careful how you cure it. Don't look away, because if the angle in your assistant's hand changes, or you can be one of those dentists who cures all their own stuff, which I believe in staff training above doing everything yourself, right? But you know, you could really run into a lot of problems. And so what I would do is follow the rules of our profession of restoring with composites very systematically. And what that meant is it was a time consuming procedure. And what I would always say when I hired my first associate, my second associate, my third associate, and I would start to see people starting to have problems with post-op sensitivity, and they'd come to me, right? And so what I would start to say is, listen, you have to take the time to do it right. If you are rushing through the steps of your basic restorative, that's when you're going to run into those complications. If you don't make sure you pack in your increments, if you have too many tiny increments, you might incorporate bubbles. If you don't agitate your adhesive just enough for just enough time, like what are the manufacturer's instructions? So all this, and then SureFill came out. I think that wasn't that by Kerr. And so I was like, oh, wow, I could fill the whole tooth in one go. So I started doing that. And, you know, it was a very new bulk fill product. And I was a very new dentist. And so I would do these things very quickly and have tons of post-op sensitivity. Likely not, you know, not a product thing, but it scared me off. So for some time, I just sat back and waited for the research and for more scientific developments. And now we have great science, great literature-backed evidence on using more bulk fill materials in the posterior to where you can cure up to 4 millimeter increments. And I'm using the Blue Phase Power Cure Light by Ivy Klar with the whole system. So also with the 3 second cure. I mean, if you compare that to 20 second or 40 second curing time, like years of our life is wasted in curing. That's really what I would say if you actually do the math. Right. So what I started to see by becoming more efficient, and I'm focusing in this time and talking about posterior dentistry, but what I started to see by becoming more efficient with my posterior dentistry with materials that were scientifically backed, took time to be developed, worked really well in my hands, was I was finishing my procedures clinically, intraorally, quickly. My patients were like, wow, are we done? You know, and I'd be like, yeah. And then they would go and they would feel fantastic. And so without really people coming back with any issues, then I'd start to see people on recalls, right? Because isn't that what we want? Our patient retention, our patients keep on coming back. And what do we need when our patients are coming back? We need to trust that the work that we did was good enough that we're going to be proud to see it again when we take an x-ray, right? So we take x-rays, and when you're using excellent restorative materials, what we start to see on x-rays, and you're technique sensitive and all that, but what I started to see on x-rays is great marginal integrity and restorations that were lasting a long time, right? And so that's basically how we became very efficient with our posterior dentistry. And once I got it down, I started teaching my associates and changing the entire practice over. And everybody was happy to make the switch, because what was I saying? Double the increment depth, 1/10 of the curing time, and great post-operative results. So easy sell for the doctors, no, and the patients, it was just a huge benefit to the patients. So that's sort of what happened in the world of our posterior dentistry. And that's how I became more efficient in the posterior. And then how about you guys? Tell me what you guys have experienced. Have you made a similar shift over the years as these materials have become more, you know, scientifically backed over time?
Definitely. Well, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to take a deeper dive with you on that. You know, I feel like, yes, you know, as your practice grows and you feel like you have less time to do, you know, things, or you feel like your patients are getting booked out further and further in the future, which feels great because you're like, oh, I'm busy. But you know, there is an opportunity for you to streamline what you're doing. And you're saying streamlining your workflows and having something so dialed in that you can now scale your practice. There's a lot of dentists that are like, okay, I'm not ready to scale, but I definitely need to streamline my workflows. And I think that there's ways to identify if you're one of those people. Like if you have material that expires, I think that's, you know, obviously, I think you're going to need to streamline some of the products and the materials that you're using. If you are having post-op complications, most definitely there's a problem there. So you said, you mentioned the curing light, which I think having a quality curing light is everything. But also you mentioned, you know, your bonding agent and using maybe a bulk fill material. Like, I want you to like break it down for me. Like, I am 4 years old. Tell me what you're doing in the posterior. Are you isolating? Is that making you more efficient? Like, and if you are, how are you doing all of this?
You know, I think, of course I'm isolating as step one, because that's what we have to do. And I probably take more time on isolation than any other step, because obviously moisture control is what affects all our results when we're adhesive bonding anything, right? So that's my step one. And then phosphoric acid etch, because that's what we have to do. And you can choose. There's different ways to do it. You can do in the posterior. I find I've done a selective etch technique. You can do selective etch where you're etching only the enamel and you're not etching the dentin if you're using a self-etching adhesive. But you can also do a total etch and you still get a good bond. And if you're not over etching, you won't get sensitivity. And that's how it's worked in my hands. So I typically will do a total etch, just etch the tooth, 15 seconds, both the enamel and the dentin, wash it off, place my, I use Adhese Universal. So that is my go-to adhesive, whether I'm doing composite resin, bonding anterior veneers, doing a full mouth reconstruction case where I'm choosing to bond, which is typically my preference. That is the bond that I'm using. And if you follow manufacturer's instructions, and you should, for every bond that you're using, what is the manufacturer telling you to do? Right. And that's probably one of the biggest mistakes I see in dentistry is that people don't know how the manufacturer is telling them to use the product. So for Adhese Universal, you have to scrub it in. You have to agitate it for 20 seconds into the tooth surface. So you do that and the adhesive penetrates better and you get a better bond. So I do that and then we cure it. It's a 3-second cure because it works as part of the system. And then there are two bulk fill resins that I use. One is a flowable and one is a packable. So the flowable is Tetric Power Flow. And then the packable is the Tetric Power Fill. And so both can be used in up to a 4-millimeter increment. And people do it differently. You know, like I've seen people do the flowable increment as a dentin replacement, and they'll use the flowable increment for 4 millimeters, 3-second cure with the system with that light. So you cannot use a different light from a different manufacturer because the energy outputs of the lights are different. So the Blue Phase Power Cure light has a setting that you can also choose 20 seconds and 10 seconds if you're using other materials. But for this system, you can choose the 3-second setting, do your 4-millimeter power flow, the flowable increment, cure it for 3 seconds, and then put your packable composite on top. So the thing, and the reason you need to do that, you need to end with the packable composite, which is the bulk fill, the filling, not the flowable, is in the posterior, we have to be aware of the forces, right? Occlusal forces. And so the filler content in the packable resins is higher than the filler content in the flowable resins. So they're just more wear resistant, basically. Now, that's one way you could do it. But really in my hands, what I like to do is I like to put the flowable increment at the bottom layer of the tooth. I don't put a ton of it. I wait a few seconds because the material is self-leveling. So, you know, when you used to put a flowable and try to get it into every nook and cranny, if you accidentally touched it with an explorer, it would come back up and then you'd incorporate a bubble and it'd be your fault, right? Idiopathic. So this material is one that you can place the flowable in the Tetric Power Flow and don't touch it. And it is going to self-level and it is going to go into all the nooks and crannies. And I typically do that for the bottom 1 to 2 millimeters, just to level the pulpal floor and go everywhere that I need it and make sure I have a good seal everywhere, a good marginal seal. And I then do a 3-second cure with my Blue Phase Power Cure Light. And then I will typically finish the restoration with the Tetric Power Fill, the bulk fill, packable composite up to a 4-millimeter increment. I pack it in with a ball burnisher. It's like my favorite instrument for packing anything. And it's part of efficiency, right? It's like, I'm not using a million different things. And then that's, I like to shape my resins while they are still soft. So I've seen sometimes dentists place the resins, cure them, and then this big honking thing now has to be like drilled into shape, and it takes forever, right? But like, think about it. If it's soft and you can remove it with your hand instruments, just use your same mind that was going to shape it with a drill and shape it with your hand instruments. And then when it comes to the time at the end, so then I do with the curing light, a 3-second cure. I've completed my restoration. And then now I'm just checking my occlusion and polishing the margins. And that's a pretty efficient process because I've shaped my resin to almost complete form prior to curing. So those are all my posterior resin trade secrets. You're welcome.
I love that. I mean, and I think that's important. So Pam, thanks for asking that, because the actual process, when we think about like each one of those steps and how long each one of those steps takes, if we are in a more traditional environment, and let's just say we're curing for 10 seconds instead of 20, 30, whatever that time is, because even though if we're honest, right, we're all going to do the things exactly as they should be. But walk into the average dental practice and, you know, ask a dentist to look in the mirror. And if we said 10 seconds, no matter what depth, and they're putting 10 in. But I'm going to caveat this with, money has never driven me on anything. It's always been clinical outcomes. But when I add, because my process is almost identical to yours, Nada, when I add in the financial benefit to this side of it, you know, based on whoever's listening, your hourly production, 500, 750, 1,000, 2,000, whatever that number is, I can guarantee you on your worst year, you're going to put an extra $15,000 in your pocket for doing the exact same dentistry, just a different way. So, man, that's pretty compelling.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with you at all with that. And the thing that feels good when you start doing this is, here's the reality. If it takes, and once you actually start trying this, and it becomes very second nature to you and very comfortable in your hands, you'll do even better than what I'm saying. But I remember in the beginning, I was like, oh my goodness, I could do 2 restorations in the amount of time I was doing one. Okay. And now I'm pretty sure I could do way more than that, right? Because I'm very comfortable with the materials and it's a really efficient process.
Mm-hmm.
What about the anterior? Are you using similar materials for the anterior, or are you going the layering route and, you know, using more layers?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So definitely not using any bulk fill materials in the anterior, right? So the really great thing about bulk fill materials is they're super efficient and great for the posterior, but they're not as aesthetic as some of our anterior resins. And there's more limited shades, right? And they're harder to, you know what I said about the flowable, it's self-leveling. So you wouldn't want that in the anterior. You really want control over the shape, right? So all those posterior materials are really targeted, and bulk fill materials are targeted at the posterior. And in the anterior, we have to think about things differently. So traditionally, I used to do tons of layering, tons of shade matching. You know, in certain cases, you may still consider that, but I will tell you the material that works very well, that's a part of the system. And because I'm doing a lot of dentistry that is not just, it's very customized to the patient. I'm not doing the same thing with every single tooth. You know, I may have like a couple of crowns treatment planned in an anterior restoration. So I also want things to match, right? So the material that I found to work really well is Tetric Prime. And Tetric Prime is a resin material with a really good variety of shades, including a couple of dentin shades and enamel shades. So if you want to layer, you can do like a 2-layer, you know, a dentin layer and enamel layer. And like, let's be real, you guys, if you're doing like an anterior restoration, a Class 4 restoration, and you're going to do, 6 different layers of colors with stains and this and that, how much time are you going to need? And should you be charging the same thing for that as you are for your regular 4-surface restoration? you know? And realistically, are patients going to be like, yeah, that's cool with me. You can charge me four times more because it takes you four times longer, right? Like realistically, you need an efficient way to do anterior dentistry in the general practice, right? To do your anterior restoratives. So Tetric Prime gives me that solution. It's sort of all this line of products gives me like a full mouth solution, right? So what I do is I look, if you look close to the gingival margin, you can better shade match what color the dentin is. And if you look closer to the incisal edge, you can better shade match what the enamel color is. You can decide if you're going to use only one layer, if the tooth is pretty much one single color. And if you want to layer, I like to do a dentin and then an enamel layer on top for my class four restorations, just do a nice bevel, blend everything in together. And the nice thing is if I was doing like an Emax restoration, like an Emax crown nearby or the adjacent tooth, Tetric Prime's shades exactly match the lithium disilicate shades. So an A1 Emax veneer or Emax crown is the same final shade as a Tetric Prime A1. So it is a really cool way to do different kinds of restorations side by side and be efficient and make it look good at the end, right? Which is what we're looking for.
This is super cool. And you mentioned products that not everybody is, you know, maybe using, or maybe, you know, or maybe they're like, huh, I want to try that. I mean, I know Ivoclar is giving out this huge box of composite to try. So I think you just have to go to their website and fill out a form or something, but it's like, I don't even know. It's like this huge, it's a box. And I mean, it's beautiful. And if you're like, all right, this is cool, but I want to try it before I, you know, buy it kind of thing. You certainly have that as an opportunity. So I know I saw that at Yankee and I was like, you're giving away this box. I mean, this looks like something that would cost hundreds of dollars and Ivoclar is just giving it away. So that's awesome. So if you're like, yeah, I want to try that, you know, you certainly can, and you can do it very accessibly. But like you said, Nada, you have to be very careful if you're trying to use, you know, the power fill or something like that. You have to make sure you're using the appropriate curing light, and it does go with Ivoclar's curing light. So I know we talked about these things and it's really hard to just verbally share them. You are about to wow the world with a webinar soon, right? Can you share with us where we can learn and see more of you on a webinar? And also, where can we follow you?
Okay, so the webinar is on May 8th. It's on Viva Learning at 7 p.m. And we are going to be talking about these modern composite resin materials and how to use them efficiently in the anterior and posterior. So as I'm describing all of this, it's really easy for me to just talk about because this is what we do, right? But if you want to kind of see step by step how it's done with some awesome photography, because we do pretty awesome photography in my practice, and you want to, you know, really kind of get the information and the feeling for what it feels like to get through the beginning to the end of these kind of restorations, then join me on that webinar May 8th at 7 p.m. And the best place to find me is Instagram, which please don't tell my children because we try to limit that for our kids, right? Best place to find me is Instagram at Dr. Albatish, Dr. Albatish.
That's amazing. So friends, listen, if you're listening and you're watching this episode, May 8th, put it on your calendar. If you've never heard Nada speak, you need to hear Nada speak. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to see a lot of what's possible out there in dentistry, and check her out on Instagram. Pam, take us home. Like, that was a lot of ground, and oh my gosh, how did we do it in 30 minutes?
I don't even know. And I could talk a clinical topic for like all day. So you really just like made my day, Nada. Thank you so much. So everyone, for Dentistry Unmasked, join us next week. You certainly don't want to miss it because we always have such awesome guests. So Nada, thank you for joining us, and everyone out there, we will see you all next week. Bye.
Bye guys.
Thanks for having me guys.
Thank you everyone for watching or listening to the show this week. And thanks to our guests and sponsors on this episode.
Please check out our social media at Dr. Pamela_Maragliano and at Dental Economics Official.
Or you can check me out at Ignite DDS or at Dr. David Rice.
And go to dentaleconomics.com to receive Dental Economics. You can choose to receive DE in print or digitally. And you can also get the details of our Principles of Practice Management Conference on our website.
If you have time, topics or guests or anything you'd like to talk about on the show, send us an email to dentistryunmaskedpodcast@gmail.com, and we will do our very best to make it happen. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.